Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you were able to join me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled A House Full of Glory. And I just love these passages, I always have, in Haggai, the second chapter. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Praise God. It's just an exciting and wonderful time in which we're living because I believe we are going to see that occur. Oh my goodness, I just thought of something I want to share with you. The other night I was watching YouTube, and it was an old video of R.W. Schambach. He was having a camp meeting, and it was July 1990. I got that down. And he saw the greatest miracle he had ever seen in his ministry before or since. He'd never seen anything like that. And what he was sharing, it was in the summer of 1957. And he was having a meeting, and he said there were 12 wheelchairs lined up over on one side, like his right, on the right side as he was facing the congregation, and on the left there were a bunch of stretchers. And he said there was one poor boy that he was blind, he was deaf, he had like 28 different things wrong with him, his organs weren't really formed, his little body was twisted all up, his hands bent over, and he had no feet, his legs just ended in stumps. And he said at that meeting, he has never experienced God's glory like he did that time. It was like a prophetic declaration of what was to come. He said he watched that little boy, and all of a sudden, nobody prayed for him. The bones started popping. He started straightening out. His eyeballs sort of turned around in his head, and they were beautiful brown eyes. And he said he literally saw feet being formed, the toes forming on this child's feet. And it was like the congregation was just, they were overcome with the awe of the presence of the Lord. They looked over at the wheelchairs, and one by one, people started getting out of the wheelchairs. And then, like on cue, everybody turned their head to look over those lying in stretchers, and they started getting up. And he said there was not one person that remained unhealed. The presence of God came down in such a powerful way. And his message was, do it again, Lord, do it again. I don't know about you, but I have my entire Christian life long to see the power of God in such a dimension. And I believe he gave, as he felt, a foretaste of what was going to be coming. Though this glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. Hallelujah. I mean, if the early church saw signs, wonders, and miracles, the dead raised, beloved, I believe before the end comes, those who are following God, who are filled with the zeal of the Lord and love for God, are going to see the same things happen. All right, going back to the message, let's look at the glory of what the former house was. 2 Chronicles 5, verses 1 through 14. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, the silver, the gold, all the instruments, and put he among the treasures of the Lord. And then, I'm moving quickly, Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Covenant out of the Lord. Remember, it had just been in David's tabernacle, out of the city of David, which is Zion. And so, what do we see here? There were instruments and treasures in that were stored. And beloved, now in this new temple God's building, the vessels, they're the saints. They're the living stones that are being brought into the house of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:20 says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And those things had been set aside for godly use in the time of Solomon, now were being restored to their rightful place. And I would suggest those that were the vessels of dishonor, well, I don't know that they're going to make it in the body of Christ. They have to, you know, it's not just saying that you're a Christian. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, you will know them by their fruit. It's not what they say, but it's the walk of holiness, the walk of righteousness. It's love, joy, peace, all the fruit of the Spirit. Is that what is being evidenced? You can say, oh, well, the saints aren't supposed to judge. Well, no, we are not to judge the individual work that's going on in people's lives, but we are to judge accurately doctrine, the things that the truth of the Word of God, we discern and we judge everything according to that. Is it true? Is it the spirit of truth or the spirit of error? Hallelujah. Remember in Revelation, it's the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And so what do we see? It said all the men of Israel, verse 3, assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the seventh month. And so there was a reverent attitude and spirit of dedication. They were willing to do that, like in Haggai's time. They obeyed the voice of the prophet. You know, believe the Lord, you shall prosper, or you shall be, what is that? Believe in the Lord your God, you shall prosper. Believe in the prophets, and you shall be established. Amen. And so we see there was a new sense of direction. They assembled together, and every step of the progress, every advancement, every new benefit, when you think about it, demands a new recognition and acceptance of responsibility. And that's what I'm praying the Lord will do through this broadcast, through the prayers of God's people, that will stir up a sense of recognition and acceptance of responsibility by the individual members of the body of Christ, the lively stones. Now let's go on and let me read verses 4-6. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark, and they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. These did the priests and the Levites bring up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. So there was a new sense of direction, and there was a proper approach. Obviously, they did it according to the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord, the priests. Remember, David made that mistake when they put it on an ox cart and Uzzah died before the Lord the first time they tried to bring the ark into Jerusalem. So there was a proper approach. There was sacrifice for God. And doing what is right, beloved, is mere duty. Isn't there a scripture that says, you know, when you've done what you've been commanded to do, just say we're unprofitable servants? That's duty. But sacrifice means going far beyond what is expected or required. It says they sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And when that sacrifice is joyful, it will be unlimited. We will realize that all our resources, all that we are, all that we have, belong to the Lord. Our time, our energies, that which God has given to us, they are meant to be shared, meant to be given. It's sacrificial. Sometimes it's not convenient. Sometimes, you know, you'd rather just put your feet up and say, oh, let somebody else do it, not me. But God is watching everything you do or don't do. And then there's the recognition of God. Verse 7, and the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. Praise God. And so the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant. And of course, this was the symbol of God's literal personal presence in the Old Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant contained two tablets of Moses, right? That was the Ten Commandments, which God had given to Moses in the Mount. And today, well, if you will, I guess you could say, we are the Ark of the Covenant. Jesus is the Word, right? The two tablets of Moses, he's the Word, and he's in the Holy of Holies. And so he dwells within us by his Spirit. Psalm 138 and 2 declares, "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." And then let's look, I'm going to read verses 12 through 13. It says, "Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph and Heman of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets." Can you imagine what that must have sounded like? Oh my goodness. And verse 13, "And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one," oh, I've longed for this day, "to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with trumpet and cymbals and instruments of music and praise the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord." Oh, beloved, there was a spirit of unity. After they were sanctified, arrayed in white linen, they took their places in the temple, and it came to pass, as they were one in heart and unity in praising and thanking God, the glory of God filled that place so that no one could even stand because the presence of God was so strong. Beloved, may we yearn for that same manifestation and experience in the day in which we are living. God's not changed. He's no respecter of persons. If he did it once, he can do it again. As Brother Schambach said, "Do it again, Lord, do it again." I don't know about you, but that's my earnest prayer, to see blind eyes open, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, the dead raised. Oh, beloved, nothing is impossible with our God. Let's not limit him. Join me in prayer, amen, so that we can see the glory of the Lord in this latter house that God is building. Well, I love you. I must bring this broadcast to a close. Won't you write? Let me know you're being blessed by the broadcast. Share your needs. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.